Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
The man of God that I am introducing to you right now, together with his wife, they carry an overwhelming passion that drives them day in and day out for the continent of Africa. Ever since I've had the privilege of meeting Pastor Jamie and his wife Leah in the early 1990s at the Silver Mine Hotel, at the Silver Mine Disco. From that time, every time I get together with this man, my heart is so stirred for Africa, for the passion that you're about to encounter. He has a passion, together with his wife and family, for the souls that do not know Jesus as Savior and Lord. They have a vision. In fact, the Peters are in pursuit of a vision to establish 1,000 churches on the continent of Africa. Come on, give God praise. We're so honored today. For 2.5 decades, missionaries for 2.5 decades, they've given themselves without reservation, even when their call required them and their young children to live through violence in 2016 that ultimately would kill 300,000 Burundians. When times were tough and even the U.S. Embassy was strongly recommending that they evacuate, the Peters clung tight to their no exit strategy, a strategy that reflects their deep sense of calling and their desire to do God's will. I want you, Nairobi Lighthouse style, to welcome Pastor Jamie Peters.
Thank you so much for that warm Kenya welcome, warm NLC welcome. I want to appreciate Mkubwa wangu. Mimi sikuwa na ndugu mwingine isipokuwa dada yangu ambaye alinifuata. Na kila wakati nilikuwa ninawaambia wazazi, "Eyo, nipe ndugu." Hapana, tunatosheka. Watoto wawili wanatosha. Nini wazungu, ha? Moja wawili, Mimi niko na watoto wanne. Hallelujah. But in the Lord, I have ndugu yangu. Nafikiri ananizidia miaka miwili ya mitatu. I think he's 1 or maybe 2, 3 years older than me. I'm not really sure, but I consider Pastor Don ndugu yangu, mkubwa wangu, na Mungu ambariki. Namheshimu sana. You know, we're living in South Africa right now, and it's really difficult to find somebody to speak Swahili with. Tangu nimefika jana, juzi, najisikia Kiswahili. Kina chochewa ndani yangu. Utanisame, you forgive me. You know, in South Africa, not too many people to speak Swahili with. Juzi nilikutana na mama moja mkenye tu kasema Kiswahili sijui. Ay 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 ay. It was here in Nairobi, Kenya, tulijifunza Kiswahili mwaka wa 1987. For you younger generation, that's 1987, okay? We've been speaking Swahili ever since. So sometimes If I don't get to use Swahili, najisikia kuugua. Leo nimekuja kupata uponyaji wangu. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Wow. So great to be home. Home, nyumbani. I felt, you know, nijisikia fahari kidogo. Wakati yule mama mkenya aliniita mwenyeji. Sema, eh, sawa. Naikubalia. Asante sana. But it's a real honor to be here. And I'm so excited what God is doing at NLC. It's kind of like Queen of Sheba, you know. She found Solomon and said, the half was not told me. We hear about great things happening, but to come here and see it, it's like, yeah, this is what I heard was amazing, but this is the half was not told me. Thank God for what God is doing here at NLC. It's amazing. I talked with Alan and Rebecca last night, and they shared with me about some things that have been going on, more specifically this month. And missions month. And boy, my heart was stirred. Oof. Extending your borders. Project Extend. And what that looks like. And Pastor Don, a couple weeks ago, brought the word of the Lord talking about extended hearts. And a friend, great friend, Pastor David Briggs, was here last weekend. And he preached on extended hands. Extended hands. And so they mentioned to me that this morning could actually, in the flow of things, talk about extended feet. I said, I like that. Extended feet. So, mioyo, yeni kupanduliwa. Mikono, yeni kupanuliwa. Sasa, migu, yeni kupanuliwa. So as I was going to bed last night after chatting for about 2 hours, the scripture came to my mind. And I said, I got to read that. So actually this morning early, I got up and I read the scripture. I had to find it, you know, thank God for Bible Gateway, huh? So I went to Bible Gateway and I found the scripture. I knew I had an idea of what it said, but then I found it and I went and I read it. And so I want to read it to you this morning. Is that okay? Yeah. Might read it in a couple different versions. Of course, Swahili included. Yeah. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1 up to verse 5. Sing, O barren. You who have been born, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Here we go, verse 2 now. Here we go. Are you ready? Enlarge the place of your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand. You shall what? Expand. You shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations. Come on. And your descendants will inherit the nations. Miguyeni kupanuliwa, extended feet, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Listen to that in the NLT Bible for a moment. That'll bless you real good right now. Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth, break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home and spare no expense. And spare no expense. Just wait till we get to the Swahili Bible on that one, huh? For you will soon be bursting at the seams. NLC, you're already bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. Fear not. You will no longer live in shame. Don't be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth and the sorrows of your widowhood. For your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. Put your seatbelt on right now. We're going to Swahili. We're going to start preaching just in a minute here. Hey, Swahili. Let's look at it. Let's just look at it in the Union version. It says this. Himba wewe ulietasa. Wewe usiza. Pasa sauti yako kwa kuimba piga kelele. Wewe usiyekuwa na utungu maana watoto wako aliyeachwa ni wengi kuliko watoto wake yeye aliyeolewa. Asema Bwana, panua mahali pa hema yako na wayatandaze mapazia ya maskani yako. Usiwakataze, ongeze urefu wa kamba zako, vikaze vigingi vya hema yako. Kwa maana utaenea upande wa kuume na upande wa kushoto. Na wazao wako watawamiliki mataifa, wataifanye miji iliyokuwa ukiwa kukataliwa na watu. Usiogope, maana huta tahayarika wala usifadhaike, maana hutaaibishwa kwa kuwa hutaisahau aibu ya ujana wako, pia mashtumu ama mashtaki ya ujane wako hutayakumbuka tena. Kwa sababu mumba wako ni mume wako, Bwana wa majeshi ndilo jina lake, mtakatifu wa Israeli ndiye mkombozi wako, ye hataitwa Mungu wa dunia yote. One more. Are you ready? One's called Biblia Habari Njema. Get ready. Himba kwa shangwe, ewe uliyetasa. Wewe ambaye hujapata kuzaa. Paza sauti na kuimba kwa nguvu. Wewe usiyepata kujifungua mtoto. Maana watoto wako wewe uliyeachwa watakuwa wengi kuliko wa aliye na mume. Panua nafasi hemani mwako. Tandaza mapazia hapo unapoishi. Usijali gharama zake. Usijali gharama zake. Zirefushe kamba zako na kuimarisha vigingi vyake, maana utapanuka kila upande. Wazawa wako watamiliki mataifa, miji iliyokuwa mahame itajaa watu. Usiogope, maana hutaibishwa tena. Usifadhaike, maana hutadharauliwa tena. Utaisahau aibu ya ujane wako, wala hutaikumbuka tena fedheha ya ujane wako. Mumba wako atakuwa mume wako. Mwenyezi Mungu wa majeshi ndilo jina lake, mtakatifu wa Israeli ndiye mkombozi wako. Yeye ataitwa Mungu wa ulimwengu wote. Wow. NLC, panua mahali pako. It's time to expand the borders. And it's time from there moving forward to expand your outreach.
to the nations. My father, who was a pastor for 40 plus years, used to say and had raised up a great missions-minded church. I was a product of that. Every year they would do a missions conference. And they had gotten to the point at one season giving $1 million a year to missions. I mean, you know, you sit around that long enough, you can't help but be a missionary. I said, God, I'll go. Here I am, Lord, send me. And we came to Africa, 1987, and we haven't looked back. But one of the things he used to say was, he said, we have to have a strong home base so that we can be strong in our outreach to the nations. The stronger our home base is, the stronger and more effective we will be as we go to the nations. So he was always emphasizing the nations, but he always reminded the local church, hey, folks, right here, we got to shore up things. We got to make things stronger here at home. We got to make sure, because the stronger we are here at home in our neighborhood, in our city, the stronger we'll be as we go to the nations. So I'm encouraging you, NLC. This is a season. This is a time. I mean, you guys are bursting at the seams as it is now. And as God leads the leadership and directs you as a congregation on what that looks like, I would encourage you to buy into the vision. Be all in. Get on board. It's time to panua hemayako. Right here, the home base, and it's interesting because the Swahili Bible uses the word hema. He uses the word tent. It says, again, there, it says, panua nafasi in the Biblia Habari Njema, panua nafasi hemani mwako, tandaza mapazia apu napuishi. Right here, let it expand, let it broaden. Yeah. I hear the rumor about some land that's for sale. Yeah. Come on, it's time to possess the land. Yeah. Expand and grow. Expand the borders. Right here in the home base. So that you can be more effective out there in the nations. I love Pastor Don and his heart. The leadership here, it's all about the kingdom. It's not about doing something for ourselves, me, myself, and I. But it's all about the kingdom. It's about expanding the kingdom and growing the kingdom. And I just believe, Pastor Don, that because that is your heart, you know, as you give yourself to build God's house, he's going to build your house. This is his house. And as you're involved in outreach, and as you're going to the nations, God will do even exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. I believe one day there will be a beautiful facility here built for the glory of God. You say, how will it happen? I don't know. But it says here in Biblia, Habari Njema, Usijali Garamazaki. Don't worry about the expense. God is not like somebody who goes to a restaurant, orders the food, and walks out without paying the bill. What he orders, he pays for. He will empower you. He will enable you as a church to get this land so that you can do more than you've ever done before here in the city of Nairobi, here in the nation of Kenya, and oh my God, on the continent of Africa and the nations of the world. Because it says there, you will break out on your left. You will break out on your right. And then it says that you will go to the nations. You're breaking out on the left. You're breaking out on the right so that you may go to the nations. Things are being strengthened here. Your borders are expanding here. As your hearts expand and your hands expand, now your feet will expand. As your hearts extend, your hands extend, and now your feet will extend. You'll go to the nations. You'll do more than you've ever done before. More than you've ever done before. Not just here locally, but in the nations of the world. But key to that is the vision and what God has put in the leadership so that more property can be bought. And then as more property is bought and you're extending the borders of your tent, your house is growing, it's expanding. Not just numerically, but also with property. And all the things that you need as a church. So that you as a church, your needs can be satisfied and met, but also so that the needs of a hurting and lost and dying world can also meet Jesus. So extend today. Extend your hearts. Extend your hands so that you might be able to extend your feet. It'll happen in Jesus' name. Usijali karamazaki. Spare no expense. Be God's channel. Be God's vessel. You've heard Shikamoto Kanamoto. I want to introduce to you this morning Shikakiwancha. Shikakiwancha. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Come on. Tumpigie bona makofi na vigelegele. Ikiwuna yamini. Ikiwuna yamini. Shikakiwancha Kanakiwancha. Because we can only be as effective out there as we go to the nations based on how strong we are here. My father, who pastor has gone to be with the Lord now, raised up a missions-minded church in Lake Worth, Florida. And there was a time when they had a mortgage, and my dad was like, we got to pay this mortgage off. And God enabled them over a number of years. They paid the mortgage off. And then when they did, they just started giving more money to missions. It's all about missions. It's all about reaching out. He was actually visiting Haiti once, and he said he was there, and his heart was broken. And he said, he was praying on the plane, actually. He's weeping. He says, God, are you calling me to be a missionary to Haiti? He said, no, but I'm calling you to go back and raise up a missions-minded church. And that's exactly what he did. There was a time when they were giving $1 million a year to missions, and we grew up in that environment, my wife and I. And so it was only natural that one of the very first missionaries they sent to the nations was my wife and I. And here we are, 37 years later, still going strong for Jesus. But he always said, we can only be as strong out there in our outreach to the nations based on our strength here at home. So we got to get stronger. We got to get our mortgage paid off. We got to do more in terms of what we can do here locally, because the stronger we are here locally, the more we can do for God in the nations. And that's what I believe this month is all about. Let's get Shikakiwancha. Come on, let's get some property so we can do more, not only for what's going on here locally, but outside there in the nations, the city of Nairobi, the nation of Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Mozambique, Malawi, Zambia. Come on, Chad, and the nations of Africa and the nations of the world. So I encourage you this morning. I'm encouraging. I'm right along with you. Come on, I got myself a faith promise card. And I'm going to give something before I leave towards buying ourselves a piece of property. Because the stronger we are here, the stronger we'll be out there. And in Acts chapter 26, I'd like to read some verses to you where Paul talked about obedience, but not just obedience, you know, in a general sense, but he was very specific, and he talked about being obedient to a heavenly vision. Acts chapter 26, verse 9, it says, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journey with me. When we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I am now sending you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. But declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both the small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets of Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, and that he would be first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. It's interesting that Paul talks here about being obedient. He says in verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. The NLT Bible says, and so King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. The message, I love the message. It says, what could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. I became an obedient believer on the spot. He said, I have to obey this heavenly vision. You know, there's something about obedience. And the scriptures are full of those who obey, what happens and the positive effects on the lives of those who are obedient to God. But of course, the reverse of that is also true. The negative effects when it comes to disobedience. Scriptures are full that those who disobey God, the negative effects it has on their life. And in fact, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says it this way, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, I've discovered something about the blessings of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 28. He doesn't say anything there about praying for God's blessings. Now, not that that's wrong, but the key to being blessed is kusikias hauti ya Mungu wako na kuiti kumtii kwa maagizo ya Mungu. Do what God tells you to do. Just be obedient. And it's interesting, if you'll just be obedient, the Bible says these blessings shall run and take you over. You'll be blessed coming in. You'll be blessed going out. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. Blessed coming in and God and going out. And God will command his blessings on you. That means you won't have to go looking for blessings. Why? Because blessings will come looking for you. But you have to obey the voice of the Lord your God. Just be obedient. I like in the Swahili. Oh, come on. You knew I was going to go there, right? It says in the Swahili Bible, Ukiti sauti ya Mungu wako, baraka hizi zote zita kushambulia. Kushambuliwa na baraka za Bwana. Kushambuliwa na baraka za Bwana. Ti sauti ya Mungu wako. Na ye Mungu atamuru baraka zake, zikujie, na zikushike, na zikuteke kama mateka. Utashambuliwa na baraka za Bwana. Hata bila kuomba Mungu nibariki, nibariki. Ti sauti ya Mungu wako tu. Na utakuwa juu, si chini. Utakuwa kichwa, si mkia. Utabarikiwa uingiapo na utabarikiwa utokapo. utabarikiwa na utakuwa baraka kwa wengine. Na Mungu atamuru baraka zake zije kwako kwa wingi na utashambuliwa na baraka za Bwana. Hebu tupige Bwana makofi.
And so we see here in Acts chapter 26, Paul thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. Later he's brought before King Agrippa. He's given an opportunity to defend himself. Started out his defense by talking about how before he had an encounter with Jesus, he used to persecute Christians. He said, in fact, on my way to Damascus, where I had an encounter with Jesus, where the very place I saw Jesus, that's the place I was on my way to persecute Christians. He said, but on my way, as I was going there, Jesus appeared to me. And in his mercy, he forgave me. He saved me. Then he told me he was sending me to witness to everyone about the salvation of God that's only available to those who put their faith in Christ. Can I have an amen? Oh, tum pepe buonamicono. Look at this, Acts chapter 26, verse 19 up to 23 in the Message Bible. What could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. I became an obedient believer on the spot. I started preaching this life change, this radical turn to God and everything it meant in everyday life. Right there in Damascus, went on to Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside, and from there to the whole world. It's because of this whole world dimension that the Jews grabbed me in the temple that day, tried to kill me. They want to keep God for themselves, but God has stood by me just as he promised. And I'm standing here saying what I've been saying to anyone, whether king or child or who will listen. And everything I'm saying is completely in line with what the prophets and Moses said would happen. One, the Messiah must die. Two, raised from the dead. He would be the first rays of God's daylight shining on people far and near, people both godless and God-fearing. Woo! Paul's saying to King Agrippa and his entourage there. He's telling them, hey, listen, I had to be obedient to this thing. I had to be obedient to the heavenly vision. He was saying that he had to do everything within his power to accomplish and fulfill the vision from heaven. Again, the Message Bible says I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. What was the heavenly vision Paul was talking about that he said he had to obey? What was the heavenly vision that he said he couldn't just walk away from? Here we go. The heavenly vision Paul was talking about is a vision that pushes us to plunder hell and populate heaven with the souls of men and women who are lost for eternity without Jesus. It's a vision of redemption and salvation for the lost. It's a vision to preach the gospel, as Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. It's a vision to go and make disciples of all nations, as Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 says to do. It's a vision to seek and to save that which is lost, as Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says to do. It's a vision, as Paul said, to witness both the small and great, both the king and child, both the white and black, both the Kikuyu and Luo. Come on now. Both to the skinny and those who are not so skinny. Both to the rich. I'm not sure which category I fit in there, Pastor Don. Both to the rich, to the poor, both to the educated and the uneducated. Here we go. Both to the Jew and the Palestinian. It's a vision to witness to men and women of all tribes, languages, nations about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heavenly vision Paul was talking about is God's vision for nations. And that vision for nations that God has is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. What does it say? That none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this is the vision Paul was telling King Agrippa and all his cronies that he had to obey.
It was a vision that he was compelled to obey. It was a vision that he was constrained to obey. It's the kind of vision that a person couldn't just walk away from. Come on, tumpepe buanamikono. And this is the secret of the Apostle Paul being used by God to do the signs, wonders, and miracles that he did. It was the secret sauce of his success for planting churches all over the place. In other words, the reason the power of Almighty God was released in and through him to accomplish all that he accomplished was that he didn't just sit and sour and choke on and soak in church on Sunday mornings, but he got up off his blessed assurance and went to seek and to save that which is lost in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Can I hear an amen? Again, verse 19 and 20, the message. What could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. I became an obedient believer on the spot, and I started preaching this life change, this radical turn to God, and everything it meant in everyday life right there in Damascus. Went on to Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside, and from there to the whole world. Oh, I just couldn't help myself. I couldn't just walk away from a vision like this. It was so overwhelming. It was so compelling. I had to obey this heavenly vision. And out of his obedience to the heavenly vision, God used him amazingly, spectacular ways, planting churches, starting Bible schools, winning souls, making disciples, left and right, right and left. Power and anointing of God was all over him. Why? Because of his obedience to the heavenly vision. And the same is true about us. Can I hear an amen? Same is true about us. Coming to church on Sunday mornings, it's amazing. I love this church. I just love this church. It's like, you better look out. We're going to have to call the fire department here. Molto, 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 molto. I love this church. Please don't stop coming. But coming to church on Sunday mornings in and of itself is not obedience to the heavenly vision. But when we get up and we go outside the four walls of the church in order to seek and to save that which is lost in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth, in other words, at our workplaces, oh, come on, can I hear an amen? In our neighborhoods, at the supermarket, at the gym, at soccer practice, that's when we are being obedient to the heavenly vision. And it's when we are obedient to the heavenly vision that the power and anointing of Almighty God is released to do a powerful work through us in the hearts and lives of those we come into contact with each and every day. Matthew, we read this earlier, chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. It says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As you what? As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what's going to happen? Oh, it tells us, heal the sick. The sick will be healed. Cleanse the lepers. The lepers will be cleansed. The dead will be raised. Demons will be cast out. Freely we have received, freely give. The Bible doesn't say as we sit in church on Sunday mornings very quietly and very reverently, the sick will be healed, the lepers will be cleansed, the dead will be raised, demons will be cast out. No, 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 no. It says what? As we go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's when the sick will be healed. That's when the lepers will be cleansed. That's when the dead will be raised. That's when demons will be cast out. Why? Because sitting in church on Sunday mornings very quietly and very reverently, never venturing outside the four walls of the church to do what we can to seek and to save that which is lost is not obedience to the heavenly vision. And whenever there's a lack of obedience to the heavenly vision, there will always be a lack of power and anointing to get the job done.
However, one simple act of obedience. One simple act of obedience. Going, preaching, saying. One simple act of obedience to the heavenly vision. Going, preaching, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Will cause there to be a release of God's mighty power and anointing in us and through us to do what God has called us to do, which is what? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Because we have freely received, and now he's requiring us to freely give it away. But again, that can only happen when we walk in obedience to the heavenly vision. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says, the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Woo! The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Yeah. The power of Satan is defeated. It's destroyed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Who are the ones that are anointed by the Holy Spirit? Those who sit sour and soak in church on Sunday mornings? No. We don't need to be anointed to sit sour and soak in church on Sunday mornings. Anyone can do that. We don't need any special power to do that. Those who go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand are the ones who need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, because it's by the anointing of the Holy Spirit the sick that they meet along the way will be healed. It's by the anointing of the Holy Spirit the lepers they meet along the way will be cleansed. It's by the anointing of the Holy Spirit the dead they meet along the way will be raised. It's by the anointing of the Holy Spirit the demon possessed they meet along the way will be set free. So what do we need to do if we want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do signs, wonders, and miracles to come upon us? Go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Tell somebody about Jesus. Put yourself in a situation that if God doesn't show up, nothing's going to happen. And see what God's going to do in you and through you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of Satan that has people in bondage will be destroyed and broken off of them. The sick will be healed. The lepers will be cleansed. The dead will be raised, and the demon possessed will be set free because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will come upon you as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come on, my coffee, quayes. Woo! Here we go. You say, I'll wait for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon me first, and then I'll go. Doesn't work that way. Why? Because that's not obedience to the heavenly vision. Obedience to the heavenly vision is not conditional. If I feel this way first, or if I feel that way first, then I'll be obedient to the heavenly vision. No! Just be obedient to the heavenly vision, whether you feel a certain way or not. Just go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, whether you feel a certain way or not. And out of your obedience to the heavenly vision, as you go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit will come upon you to minister to those around you, and the sick you come into contact with will be healed. The lepers you come into contact with will be cleansed. The dead you come in contact with will be raised up, and the demon possessed you come in contact with will be set free by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit that will come upon you as a result of your obedience to the heavenly vision. Give me 2 more minutes. I'm going to read something to you from a book called Reaching the Unreached. Becoming Raiders of the Lost Art. A-R-T, not ARC. Raiders of the Lost Art. Reaching the Unreached by Raiders of the Lost Art by Peyton Jones. Here's what he says. He says, the front lines. We got it there? Okay. The front lines are where Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be with us in power, Without the risk inherent in the mission of Jesus, we would have no great need for his power. Power of the Holy Spirit is promised only in the context of mission. Oh my. The power of the Holy Spirit is only promised in the context of mission. Jesus promised his presence as we gather, but his power when we spread out. Note the link in the following passages between Jesus sending us out and the promise of the Holy Spirit's power to accompany us as we go. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew chapter 28. So first, Jesus tells them, he's got all the authority they need to reach the unreached to the ends of the earth. And the promise is that he will be with them as they go. The going and the empowering are inextricably linked together like peas and carrots, Forrest and Jenny, Beavis and his unmentionable friend. The link between power and mobilization is inherent in the verses that are the theme of this book. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Acts 1:8. Power is always given for witness, not for running a show. Wow. Note how Luke is the author of the book of Acts. Note how Luke and Paul link mission and power together. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. Acts 4:33, my message and my preaching were not with wise, persuasive words, but with a demonstration of God's Spirit's power. 1 Corinthians 2:4, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His power is given to us, not for running a show, but for mission. He's promised to be with us, but he's also promised us the power when we go out. When we gather, he said, I'll be with you. But when we go out, he said, I'll give you the power to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. I shared this, and I'll quickly just share this real quickly. When my wife and I started planting churches back in the early 90s, we didn't know we could plant churches until we planted a church. What a revelation, right? So it's in the going, it's in the doing that the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you to do what God's called you to do. And each and every one of us, in some fashion, form, or way or another, we're called to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. In our ministry and outreach to others, as we go, preach, say, the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon us to do just that, to be his witnesses. As the Apostle Paul said, just obedient to the heavenly vision. And out of his obedience, signs, wonders, and miracles took place everywhere he went. And out of our act of obedience to the heavenly vision, signs, wonders, and miracles, God will be faithful to show up and to show off and minister to us and minister through us. If you believe that, can you say amen? Amen. Come on, let's get some land. We got to get some land. So we can broaden our home base, so we can go out into the nations, so that we can go preach saying the kingdom is at hand, be obedient to the heavenly vision, and see God do signs, wonders, and miracles. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.